What's up, y'all?
How y'all doing today? How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's Wednesday. It's raining, y'all. It's September 8th. Baby, look, come on. 8 means new beginnings. Let's roll. The rain is washing all the old away, so the new
and bringing in the new.
And bringing in the new. So that's how I look at it when it comes down to that. But I'm doing good, Queen. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's a really good day today. Like you said, the rain is here. And of course, we have this is what our second week of September, and it's Wednesday. It's SW Podcast Day. So how can we not be doing?
Yes, y'all know what time it is. Look, we come to spill, we come to talk, we come to give our opinions, our thoughts, our inspirations, what we didn't been through, what we ain't been through, and we really don't care if you like or don't like, but thank you though.
But we appreciate it.
We appreciate it though.
But most of the time anyway, you're gonna more than likely like it. Even if you don't like it all, you're going to have pieces that you like. So the show is going to always give y'all a reason to come back and want to hear us a little bit more. So thank y'all as always for tuning in. We appreciate all of the support, all of the constant inspiration, feedback, dialect, the comments that we get on the page when we're doing our live show. That's been really great. Like, you know, last week was really good. So we just appreciate y'all. So thank y'all.
Yes,
salute.
So tell people what we're gonna quote of the day.
Yeah, we're gonna jump into the quote of the day because the quote of the day is always something that's beneficial to our culture, and us as a people, we need to realize more and more that the things that we're going through isn't always the end result of our story. There could be newfound wind on the other side. There, you know how they say that grass ain't always greener. Sometimes it is.
Bright green.
Yeah, real green, bright, you know. So it just depends on your mental state and your mental state of mind when you're dealing with certain issues. So our quote of the day is, pain is inevitable. It is actually a great opportunity for growth, but when we blame or fail to take responsibility for our suffering, the pain becomes stagnant. And stagnant pain can have a compounding effect if left unchecked. Romano Malco.
Oh, yeah. It really can.
And on today's show, guys, we're going to have on a mental health specialist, because this particular quote is, when you look at it and listen to it, and like I read it 5 times before actually, you know, deciding that this was going to be the quote, because it made sense as to where the state of event we are with Black men in our country. However, it makes sense with the situation of us not wanting to be healed. And a lot of times we don't know that we're aching.
And that's true.
Continue to traumatize or Band-Aid things. And with a Band-Aid, you end up treating people who are important to you the same way repeatedly, like an insane factor. To me, this was a good quote. Wait, what you think about that quote?
I like it. It speaks power. It speaks truth. And it's something that we need to talk about. It's something we need to talk about, especially when it comes to our Black men, because we don't just have Black men. We have Black young men, Black boys that's looking at mothers and fathers and stuff. And man, it's crazy out here. it's crazy out here. But when you really get down to the root of what's going on with you and being healed, man, you, and once you finally do get healed and let some of that stuff go as you uncover those band-aids, because some of us don't got just a band-aid. Some of us got bandages.
Multiple layers.
You know what I'm saying? And it's childhood trauma, all adult trauma, you know, adolescent trauma, all of that factors in. And if you don't get healed, man, you start hurting people that don't even supposed to be hurt just because of what you're going through. So it's a conversation that really needs to be had. And I know with Shonda, I know she'll give us some insight with all her experience and stuff that she has and stuff, her expertise.
Because that's what we really want to get to the bottom of. Like when she treats black men, black women, black men, black boys, what are some of the issues that are coming up in these, you know, in these trauma induced situations. And like today's show was supposed to be a pure dedication and discussion on the prolific roles black men have taken on across the nation and in our own personal lives, because worldwide we have some talented, fearless, strong black men in our realm. On today's show, we wanted to do a full show on that, like discussing just the magnificence of that. But due to so many other overwhelming things that are happening in our country with us as a black people, but today, just the black men in general, we wanted to do a small segment with our mental health specialist, LaShondra Cromartie, of Blue Lotus Healing and Holistic Services. But we're going to talk to her and get some therapeutic relief for the black man. Now, if you are tuning in today and you are a black man, you know, I don't just believe in the man of color, black man. If you are a black man, because man of color has now been taken to a whole nother realm. But we're talking directly to the black man. So if you feel the need to reach out to a therapist and you have no idea where to begin, we can get you in touch with a therapist, or a therapist that can get you in touch with another therapist, because black men don't always feel comfortable with talking to black women or women in general. But I will say this, as a black person that has been to therapy, get somebody that look like you.
Yeah. They understand. No matter if they got a different social background, they still understand.
Mm-hmm.
So as we done said before, we really gotta stop thinking that therapy is bad. Therapy don't mean you crazy. Therapy don't mean that you look, man, all of us need therapy. All of us, to be honest with you. At some point in our lives, all of us need somebody that we can go to and just talk through our emotions, talk through our feelings, get out how we are feeling. Because it's some stuff that we be holding back, baby, that you be like, I've been feeling like this all this time. And black men, you talk about us black women, black men, they got a lot on their shoulders.
A black man, like, I just talking to men, black men in general, I've heard a lot of the trauma inflicted things that they go through, but every black man's story is a bit different. Yeah. Their trauma is not always the same as the next man's trauma. Just like every black woman's story has a little bit of difference. It's not always the same as the next woman's trauma. However, therapy is not just to heal the trauma. Therapy is to heal the whole body as a whole. It's not to just get to it's to start off getting to the root of why you have come to therapy, but it's also to see why you're where you at, how you can, you know, continue to progression, things that you can work on in your life to not make you stifle and fall back. So therapy isn't just to make you face your past, but it is to allow you to know that your past has had a lot to do with your future. So
most definitely.
It's a mind-blowing effect. I recommend it.
I do too. And I haven't even been to therapy, but I do recommend it from just talking to people that have been to therapy, from single people to couples to just people just need somebody just to talk to, because they just overwhelmed with life.
Yep.
So, you know, I and just from reading about it and stuff, like, man, look, go get you some help. Somebody that don't know you, somebody that can't be that ain't gonna be biased, judgmental, or nothing like that. They gonna sit there, listen to what you got to say, and just like you said, they gonna help you get through these things that you need to get through. But it starts with you, because you got to be also the person to come with these emotions and speak on it, and not
to be willing to,
and be but willing
people,
to.
But people don't realize it's people are willing to talk to strangers easier than they will to someone they know. So you end up going into therapy, talking to that person and telling this person things you ain't never said to nobody.
Nobody.
And that's for a fact. I know that for a fact, because the conversations that I was having when I was in therapy, I had to have certain conversations to get the clarity.
Yeah.
It was a lot of moving parts in my healing. I'm gonna go back because I just wanna make sure that I have clear and concise understanding of where I wanna do with my current goals, my current guys. So so I'm saying it's not always about just trying to go and release and undo trauma. It's just a refreshing thing to do when you have certain questions about yourself. Because what ends up happening in therapy is that the therapist is mostly getting you to heal yourself. I don't know if people notice that a lot, but when you come to terms with what you're going through and what you're dealing with, and you are the person that's making that clear. They're just making you talk about it.
Yeah, that's true.
They're just making you open your mouth and get it out, because they know that you're terrified to tell somebody about this. This has been agonizing you for years. So what a therapist normally does is just literally will listen to you and say a line or two every now and then to get you to keep going. And they get you to answer your own questions. So it's not like you're not learning. It's not like you don't know yourself. You're just going in to get some clarity on some things that have been bothering you.
And that's so good. And that's
real good.
And that's mental health.
That's mental health. That's definitely mental health. So a couple of other little quotes that I saw on this when I was picking up this particular quote was, you can only fool reality until the truth comes knocking at your door.
Ooh.
Michael B. Jordan. If you can always be appreciative of the, that's not the one. Where the one with Michael Jackson I saw? I seen one with Michael Jackson.
Hey.
There it is. Oh, Mike. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself, then make that change. So we all know.
And that's my song, though. Man in the Mirror. That song truly speaks volumes. If you really sit there and listen to the lyrics of the song and what he's actually saying,
yes,
like correct. That song really, it literally, like, I can listen to it and it'll bring me to tears. And especially if you listen to it and you actually look at yourself in the mirror, it really speaks volumes. Now I say when it comes to music, you got to really pay attention to what the artist is actually saying, because it's a lot of stuff that you can get out of it. But some people just mumble. But that song there, that verse is from Man in the Mirror. That song always touched me.
Yes,
because it's very powerful.
Very, and it is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. That's one of my favorite quotes from Frederick Douglass.
It is easy to build strong children
than to repair
a broken man. That's true.
Very true.
That's true.
So, I enjoy most of the quotes that we find anyway, or that we have, because of the simple fact that they're chosen mostly for the discussion, for one, but they're very affirmed. They're quotes that we've heard before. that have been reinvented to constantly motivate us and inspire us to keep our top taken care of. It ain't always about just saying, oh, seeing if the quote just gonna get likes and build up a lot of influence. The quotes that people, as Frederick Douglass put out there, such as this is trauma. This is talking about reducing trauma. And one of the ways to do it is to make sure that you're loving on your children, giving them the time and attention they deserve as they're being raised, because then in the future, you don't have to worry about a child come back to say, you ain't telling them I love you enough, or you didn't hug me enough, or you didn't do this enough, or you didn't do that enough. If you don't want that to come backfiring on you, learn how to take care of the child as she's a child, as their children. Yeah. Let children be children. Love on your children. Give them all the love and attention that they deserve, because they're not going to get it from no one other than you.
And you don't want them to get it from nobody else.
And to be real,
they end up getting it from the wrong person. So you don't want that. And especially when it comes to me, my stepdad and my mom was having that conversation. And when boys become a certain age, they really need a strong man in their life if their dad's not there in their life. They need that strong role model, because if they and the female too.
We do.
The female too, because if they don't, that's when they start looking other places. And you can kind of get that, you can lose that child, and you don't want to lose that child. Especially when you know that child has, all children have potential, all of them, because all of them have choice. But it's just you don't want to lose a child, period. And we have lost a generation.
Many children.
And it's sad to say, but it's just the truth. But that, it comes back to that mental health and what you just said. Kids saying that their parents ain't saying that they love them. The kids don't have stability in the home. And like, kids will read off a list of things to you. Yes. And I know we grew up in that generation that some of our parents, your opinion didn't matter. We don't care how you feel and stuff like that. But I think you have to let your children be able to express to you how they feel.
Yep.
But and I always tell my kids, you can express how you feel, but you need to do it in a respectful way.
Yeah, because even when I'm telling you certain things, you don't want me to come at you disrespectfully. So when you come at me with certain things that you have an issue with, you better address it with a lot of respect. Let your tone be anointed.
And that's what it is. The tone is what I think, that's the tone is what get parents.
That's
and
the
that
biggest
sometimes
thing.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
Oh, the child telling hurts. The truth, and the truth hurts. I mean, it hurts.
It did deep holes.
Yeah.
It did.
But sometimes us as adults, we need to really like just sit back and but sometimes before you even respond, you might need to just sit back, hear what they got to say, and then may come back later. Because see, sometimes we still respond out of anger, and that'll push a child away too. So it's a lot. It's a lot. But we need our black men. Look, we need them. We need them.
Based on MHA, Mental Health America, black and African American communities have a very low stigmatized relief for mental health. 13.4% of the U.S. population identifies as Black or African American, and of those, over 16% reported having mental illness in the past year. That is over 7 million people. So 16% of our population is over 7 million people. And that's more than the populations of Chicago, Houston, and Philadelphia combined.
That's a lot of people.
Over 7 million Black or African American people in America at about the same or less frequency than in white Americans have reported that they have mental health conditions that occur in them on a frequent basis. We're going to get ready to bring on Ms. Cromartie, who's going to kind of give us a little bit more sound effect on why mental health issues have huge barriers in our community, and some of the ways that she's helped to be able to stigmatize some of those in the Black community. Let's welcome Ms. Cromartie, you guys.
Yes. Snap, snaps.
Hey, ladies. Hey, guests. It's definitely always a pleasure and a blessing to be among such beautiful people.
Yes, indeed. You too, boo. You too.
Thank you. So, I wanted to kind of just tap into what y'all were just talking about. Y'all were talking about young people, getting young people to open up.
Yes, that's what we were talking. Well, we were talking about, if you're taking care of them as children, you don't have to. If they're taken care of as you, they don't have to grow up and be healed as broken.
Right. It's easier to raise healthy children than repair broken men and women. That is so true. And Queen C, you were saying something, and I really want to say this. Oftentimes, we want our children to talk to us. We want them to confide in us. And it takes more than us saying, hey, you can always talk to us. Our children are paying attention to how we respond to other people's situations.
And
our response in those situations is what determines whether or not
how they gonna talk.
If they seem to act stupid when they're 7 and we responding to a 17-year-old appropriateness, then when they get 17, that memory is stuck with them. And so that, depending on our response, whether it was positive or negative, 10, 11 year ago, memory sticks with them, and that determines in their moment whether or not they're going to confide in us. So it's always
definitely true.
Not only keep the lines of communication open, but be mindful that our children are watching us, and our actions have to line up with our words in regards to open communication. So, but anywho, is that me sounding a mess?
Sure.
I'm on my computer at home.
You might be too far. I'm gonna sit back.
You say back up.
Yeah, back up.
Beautiful. What happened? Mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2.
One, two.
Let me see.
Sean, that's your mic. So you say you on your computer? Let me see now.
It might be your screen cost.
So that's jump out and then come back in. All right.
Okay.
So yes, as we were stating, the population of mental health
has been stated that over 7 million Black people in our country have mental health issues. They have identified that themselves, either by going to a doctor, going to a therapist, wanting some type of help. They need some type of assistance, whether they find out when they were in prison that they had a mental health, that they've been Baker at and had to go through something to realize they were mentally unstable, whether they've been analyzed by a physician. They've all determined that up to 7 million Black Americans right now in this country are, and this is a 2021 study. So this is about March 2021. So they've determined that in up until March 2021 or maybe February, January, I'll just say 2020 stats. Until at least 2020 stats were combined into this to come to a decision that we need real valuable conversations on this. We need safe spaces. We need healing. We need a community of an area where we can go and just say,
I mean, let it all out. Let
just it release all it. Out. Just releasing it.
And you know, that got you all balled up, all tight in the face, just everything.
Say it again.
I said, it has you all balled up and all tight in the face and everything. And once you release, it's just like, I'm so happy I got this out. I feel like a weight is just lifted off me.
Know that we do have spaces. We know exactly where those spaces are.
It may be your speaker, Queen.
How do I sound to y'all?
You sound good.
You good, and your picture is clear now too.
Okay.
Way more clear.
Okay.
Is that my speaker?
Yeah, it's kind of going in and out.
I'm watching on the. I try to pay attention watching it on other screens so I can make sure when we go out. But I don't. I see us.
So it's probably going to be doing
sporadic stuff.
Okay.
I'm gonna go ahead and just
raining outside.
I'm gonna stop being lazy
and putting my actual paint to my computer instead of doing the Wi-Fi version of it.
So Sean, can you speak to us on the stats for that?
Yes, in regards to Black men?
Yes.
Girl, you had already started hitting it on the head. And so okay. I was hearing, I'm hearing feedback again.
Yeah.
I hear some echoing too.
One, two. But in regards to feedback. In regards to statistics and mental health and Black men are the most underserved population when it comes to mental health. Why? And y'all kind of hit on some of those topics. The biggest thing, even in the Black community, is the stigma that comes with mental health and mental health treatment or mental health illnesses. And so even the word mental health, we need to really identify and change how we view the term mental health. Mental health is equivalent to saying physical health. It is just in regard to our emotional well-being. We say mental health and an elephant comes in the room. We say mental illness and defenses go up. And I could have a mental illness. I could also have a physical illness. And so just like a physical ailment that I might have if I break my leg, kind of like when my heart was broken from that first unhealthy adult relationship I had. Just how I would go get treatment for my broken leg, I need to go get treatment for this broken heart that I experienced. I need to process, we need to process, you know, some of the unhealthy habits that we might have picked up or engaged in during this first relationship, because everybody I know had one. We probably need to look at some of the unhealthy habits we took on individually and what that person might have introduced us to. I mean, it's so many things. Look at, kind of backtrack, look at how my relationship with my parents and my grandparents play into the relationships that I have today. It's a lot of things. My grandma was a boss. It's so many things that she contributed to who I am today. But there are some things that I really had to work through and unlearn. I had to be unconditioned from in order to operate with a healthy mindset. Was it my grandparents' fault? No. They just resided in a time where the options that I have for healthy living, they didn't necessarily have. And so now we are at a time where we have opportunities and options. Go ahead.
No, you were speaking. I want to make sure that's clear. When people hear what you were saying, just then, that's clear. So when you're talking, I'm just gonna make sure me and Queen mics are Queen mute your mic too.
Yeah,
for some reason it was super clear at first. I started doing that again, but you were speaking some good shit right then, and I want people to know that a lot of our issues come from what we saw.
So you were hitting like on that very in a impactful, you know, very. Mm-hmm. I want you to continue to kind of like divulge on that. I'm gonna go back to muting us. Go back.
Okay. But yeah, so many of us, we are products of what we learn. And we learned not by, at least for my grandparents, they weren't saying, okay, this is how you do this. This is how you navigate this. You know, my generation is different. We have conversations with these children. Why? Because we have to. Because if not, they're going straight to the internet. They're going to Instagram. They're going to TikTok. They're going to their girlfriends, their guy friends. You know, they're pulling whatever information they feel like they need in that moment. For us, we literally had to get it how we live. And that meant paying attention to what people were doing, what our grandparents were doing, what our parents were doing, and us mocking or repeating those behaviors because that is all we had. So when I think back on healthy relationships, a big thing with healthy relationships right now, and I don't care if we're talking about relationships, we're talking friendships, co-workerships, intimate relationships, marriages, whatever the relationship is. I'm not just talking about, you know, like we sleeping together type relationship. Any relationship, sibling relationships, communication is a big component of that. And so growing up, not many of us had direct and clear communication. I'm still breaking up over there.
You sound good.
Okay.
You sound good.
Okay. So with that being said, we were just left with what we saw. And so if what we saw is a lack of communication, nasty habits, then we took that on as to be our reality or our truth. And so for men, I always encourage, in regards to men and mental health, there is not one reason I can think of why Black men should not be receiving mental health treatment. And that, again, don't get crazy on me because I say mental health. Just how Black men go to the gym, just how they that's their physical workout, just how Black men go to church or whatever it is they do, that's their spiritual workout, just how we budget, Black men budget, that's their financial responsibility. So we have to hit every avenue. And the fact that a Black man is Black in America, that alone is reason enough for Black men to seek mental health treatment, for them to be able to check in. One of the things that most Black men that I work with will talk about in a very few sessions is being misunderstood. And what does that mean? Black men are misunderstood. And that's something I actually agree with. Black men, Black women too, but for right now we're talking about Black men. Black men are held to this high standard. We're looking for them to be the head of households. We're looking for them to raise the children that they make. We're looking for them to be financial providers. How can a Black man financially provide for me when the system is set up for him to not be able to make more money than me? We need to process that.
That's a lot.
And that's true.
So how can a Black man help me properly raise my children when if he kissed his son on the cheek. We are attacking him for showing love.
And it's in the same token, we are letting them know that with them speaking and showing emotion or any type of vulnerability, that they're weak, or that society sees them as a weak individual just because of that particular situation. Black men, we know that we're living vessels of what the black woman goes through. We're also emotional partners to the black men when they're going through what they're going through, and they're not completely honest with us 100% about the things that they're facing on a regular basis.
Exactly. So,
and they can't be
because a lot of us want, for one, a lot of us not even accept
because
a lot of women date for protection. In general, protection financially, physically, and mentally. They look at their mental protection, but they don't know how to be somebody else's mental protection. Like, we got a lot of broken, women, and we got a lot of broken women raising black broken men.
And that's why we got broken men.
Boys that are turning into broken black men. And now, and then that goes back to, where's the father? And then we go back to a whole nother situation of stigma. Either they locked up, you in a relationship with them, so they ain't doing for the kid, or they don't want to do a kid, or they don't even know they got a kid. So many, so many different scenarios.
So much.
So
much.
We as a culture, so many demonic reasons. So I definitely go ahead, Sean. You've been.
No, that's our reality. And not putting it, and it's a our issue. It's not just the black man. It's not just the black woman. We both share this issue together. So, but it takes a team effort. And so, one thing I give women, like, it seems like we are attempting to do the work. Women are trying to kind of step up and say, okay, you know, so at least maybe it's the circles I'm around. I'm around healthy individuals.
Yes.
And so, and I'm encouraging anybody and everybody. I am a mental health therapist. I've been doing this for about 14 years now. When I tell y'all, I have two therapists on deck at all times that I pay for services. Why?
Because you need to actually process everything that you do for others. And you sitting there, so you have to have, I heard another therapist say the same thing. Like, I have a therapist myself because what I do. I have to process
my life. I'm raising teenagers. Yeah. I live in America, you know.
And you black in America.
Exactly. So there are things that I get it, but just because I get it, just because I understand, just because I may know how to code switch or maneuver, that does not mean that it does not become a burden. That does not mean that I don't need somebody to process this with, talk about it with, and be reminded of who I am. That's another thing about therapy. When we engage in therapy, we could present these negative thoughts that we have freely. Because the one thing about seeing a therapist, every therapist has malpractice insurance. If ever anything is disclosed during a therapy session to anybody, that's a whole lawsuit. You think people around here trying to get sued? No. Even I can't even disclose who my clients are.
Right.
That is a violation of HIPAA law. So therapy is even set up to protect any and everything you say. I could get subpoenaed to court. I could get subpoenaed to court today. And because of the laws that are in place, my client is protected for whatever they share in session.
And you know, I did not know that until I was watching Hannibal, the TV series. And Hannibal was seeing a therapist. And he was talking to the therapist pretty much how he was committing these murders. But what she was going to do.
Yeah, wow. And that's one of the things I love. I get to tell my young people, Anything you share with me remains between you and I. And I can say that with my chest sticking out. But I do have a responsibility to my community. And so if it's something crazy, I do tell them. If it's something that's going to impact your future, I more than likely will let your parent know they need to have a conversation with you. But the idea of being able to share any and everything in itself is healing. And so that's one thing, Black men, it's good to have a spouse, somebody you could confide in, but sometimes we get mad. And sometimes that very thing that this Black man might say in confidence and strength, oh, baby, I'm mad. You about to get every word for word what you said. Mm-hmm.
So that's not good.
Exactly.
But I know I've also seen certain men do that. But I will say, well, for one, let me go back to the whole safe space thing,
mm-hmm.
where we're able to come to the safe space. Ava DuVernay, is her name DuVernay, created a safe space on set. When they were doing the filming of one of the movies where they had to go back and do slave stuff, they were remaking.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called? This is us. I think it was one of them.
And that's a trend that's starting to happen now. The movies, when you talk about Black movies, they're creating healing spaces because even reliving. Acting, these traumatic roles have an impact on your mental and physical body.
The 54-year-old man that passed away, mm-hmm. his home, reading an article about him yesterday, he stated that the scenes from the movie, some series he was doing that was making him relive and having to deal with trauma that his ancestors dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Back down the rabbit hole. Drugs.
And that's another thing too. We have our day-to-day to deal with, but if you're 9 times out of 10 when I'm starting therapy session with somebody, we're dealing with their day-to-day. If they're doing the work as we progress, one of the things that does happen is we have to look at the trauma that was inflicted on the ones that came before them.
Wow.
And that's part of the work. Yep. And so, and it's important because if we're not looking at, you know, the trauma that was inflicted, I'm going to go back to my grandmother. I carry so many of her traits that were passed through by my mama. From my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And so then without me processing, evaluating and breaking down and unlearning a lot of the stuff we've been conditioned in, who do I pass it to? My children, my daughters and my sons. So according to my grandmother, my sons would not be in the kitchen washing dishes. My 11-year-old sons would not be cooking.
Yeah.
My sons would not. Oh, my grandma about cussed me out if she found out my sons clean the bathroom.
Because she felt like that's a woman's duty.
Because that's how
she was raised and conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
And work is not, women's duties is to do housework, take care of the children. Men work is outside to provide for the family and the children. And
mm-hmm.
But those children totally are different. Started being raised. Being broken then. We started, I know for a fact that my mom didn't give the boys and I house a dish until I moved out. Then they started with more girls that like that no more. So who else was mm-hmm.
And that's it. It was when I'm the oldest girl. It was when I moved out that my brothers had to step up.
That's when exactly. When I moved out, my siblings had to step up to the plate because I'm the oldest. So started being changes because mommy said that it may, okay, even the girls that said they're not going to pull the same way, so it was different things. So it's expectations and you're right to see things differently.
And also, my boys wouldn't be able, I think even with my mom seeing my boys cry, that's a problem.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Like, seeing them cry.
She's seeing them cry.
Yeah.
Because, they do tell young Black men. Don't show emotions. Don't let nobody know that you weak and stuff like that. That's all good when it comes down to probably sports. Don't show your emotions out there when you're playing sports. But everyday, day-to-day life, look, they human.
Mm-hmm.
And if they keep it balled up inside of them,
why you can't show your emotion? If you upset about a play, be upset in that moment and let that thing go.
Let it go. Let it go.
So, and that's what happens, especially with men. They're being forced to hold on to those emotions, and then it's a buildup, and to finally, it's something minute, something that that probably holds no weight that they experience, and then it's an explosion, it's a blow up, it's everything. Not realizing, you know, and we look at them like, oh. You're about crazy. Because why would that small thing cause you to respond in the manner that you just responded? But the reality of it is, no, it's been a buildup.
And a whole bunch of other stuff.
Mm-hmm. From years and years, you know. So, and I see it day to day. It's just so many things that Black men really have to be mindful of. When they, even going to work. Like, it's, you know... it's something that's not even talked about often. How careful do Black men have to be when they work with white women?
I think that's the worst. I think that's part one of their worst issues right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because they are not, and sometimes even with white men who, if they are not operating in a subservient manner, if they are natural with that swag, that confidence, that, you know, I got this energy, then they're people are intimidated by them.
They're considered a threat.
And when a perceived threat is present, anything will be said to get rid of that perceived threat.
Anything.
I saw
two Black men escorted out of this state job where we worked on. You talking about somebody was broken down that day, and it broke me so bad where, like, the next week I was coming to work, I wasn't even at work. I was just there, just showing up to get paid because I was trying to figure out why, even after, because I knew, you know how you could tell they investigating somebody, but they're trying to find reasons to. And I just saw every time they'll go out on a travel, they in these people's offices searching their office while they out on travel. Or, you know, just reading, going through their emails, getting access to that certain thing so that they can just have one reason. They couldn't find nothing. When I tell you these Black men knew what type of crap they was under, from jump until they walked the straight and narrow. One particular trip that they didn't get permission to get an advance payment from their supervisor because he wasn't in the office. They just had to get an advance payment anyway because the travel happened just like it. That lady used that against them to fire them.
Mm-hmm.
And that could have been a setup.
It was a setup.
And that's what it tends to be.
Because how could finance and accounting give you an advance payment without your supervisor, without authority authorization? So it was a setup. And that's what they have to go through in this field.
Right. And even when they're going through that, if they got women at home, the women they just had a hard day. You know, they got the kids. Whether or not, because you know, as soon as you get off and you walk into the house, you put on a different hat. So whether or not there was even time to kind of digest and process that, I had a long day too. I'm not sure I had a mental space to deal with what you're trying to tell me. And at the end of the day, if I do, you know what? I hear you, but it is what it is. And we got bills to pay. And so then, you know, that leaves you stuck like, damn, I really have to
just deal with it.
Mm-hmm. And that takes a toll. That takes a toll. And so even in innocence. And so even, you know, with just having one of the young people that I'm with, Black male, Y'all, he got pulled one time. He don't want to drive no more. Like,
he's terrified.
Traumatized from being pulled over by the police. And you know what? I can't even blame him because I know how I feel when these kids leave out my house driving.
Yep.
And they legit. I know how I feel. And I'm legit.
Very legit.
But it's just, it is something. It's these systematic, it's these systems in place. It's this this society, and you know, we're trying to do the work. We're trying to move ahead. We're trying to learn. We're trying to unlearn. We're trying to do the self-work. But when you're constantly being attacked, there, it does feel like it's meaningful. It's a waste of time and it's a waste of energy. And that's another thing when we talk about systems. I have the option of taking insurance. So most companies, most insurance companies offer mental health and behavioral health services, you know, but it's first, by the time you pay your copay, for many providers, you're actually paying the cost of the service.
Wow.
And then for the providers, they're giving the providers get a hard time with cashing in on these insurance claims. So then you have the providers not wanting, not only I'm providing a service, you giving me all this red tape to follow to be reimbursed for this service that I already provided, and you don't even want to reimburse me at the full rate. And then you want to deny the claim. So that's another systematic barrier where mental health services kind of make it to the bottom of the to-do list because they end up being financially expensive. Well worth it, but financially expensive.
So that gives a good understanding as to why mental health services are limited to certain people in certain communities because of the simple fact of the access to it.
So it's extremely hard. It's extremely hard to get reimbursed. And then you got certain providers, one of the state largest insurance provider, they don't want to hire black people.
So you think that we're going to come in and tell a white person all our problems? No.
Exactly.
That's not how it works. If they don't look like us, we don't want them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so
and it ain't even a look. It's, you can't even understand. They're so busy trying to understand the culture that, like, they cannot understand why are you afraid when you walk out there your house. For them, that does not make sense.
It don't make sense.
That's a diagnosis right there. You're paranoid. You're schizophrenic. You're delusional.
I had a conversation with one of my patients about that. And I broke it down to him. He 88 years old. And when I broke it down to him how a mother or a black parent feel, period, when their child go out the house, he was like, Candace, I had no idea because I never lived that. And I know my grandkids and kids would never have to go through that. He say, so from you explaining it to me and breaking it down, even though I'm 80 some years old, I never got it until you actually broke it down and explained it to me.
He said, just looking
at your face, I can feel the hurt and pain when your brother, your husband, your cousin, or your child goes outside your house. He said, I get it now.
That's a
lack. At 88 years old, I get it.
A sign of ignorance too, because purely you 80 years old, so you've been living in this world long enough to know why we feel like that. Or why are we dealing with that? But it doesn't automatically. It don't automatically.
That's not their reality.
Understandable.
Yeah.
It's still, but it doesn't. It just. It don't make an understanding of it. But it does make them knowledgeable of why these things are happening in our communities. It don't. Is that's all I'm saying. I hate to hear a 90-year-old white person say they have no idea why black people are so afraid to live. I hate it.
It's not their reality though. It's kind of like public.
I'm understanding of that. That's what I get. That I definitely get that.
And so listen, and the other side of that is media presents mm-hmm. us to be the unstable one. So if we're unstable, if you every show that comes out that presents us, even I hate when I see a news anchor doing an interview and they pick our number one favorite cousin that we finna clown with and record everything for a couple dollars, but you want to pick them to do a full interview on a serious manner. That's a problem. So if you don't shop at Publix, you can't understand. And you use the Walmart. I can't explain to you the customer service that comes with Publix.
I have to show you though.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's what I'm saying. There are times when in the white person's reality that they have the visuals of what's going on. They just choose to ignore it because it has nothing mm-hmm. to do with them. And, mm-hmm. and that's just what the reality is. A lot of us uppity black people choose to do the same thing. So,
that's true.
You all right, John? Why are you looking like that?
Now you're in this dog in the living room and they see him on live.
Well, ladies, y'all know we coming up to the wrap of our show. So, Sean, before we close out, I want you to tell our black men, our black boys, give them something that they can look forward to when it comes to coming to a therapist. Some type of understanding as to why, not just us telling them that, mm-hmm. you know, it's so many reasons to come. Mm-hmm. Give them a reason why you feel like coming to therapy.
I'm going to give this past year, I went to Rickards. I had an office set up in Rickards. And so by the end of the year, I had about 123 clients.
Wow. And so, at Scoop from Rickards?
I went to be in the office part-time and I ended up being there full-time. From the time mm-hmm. I got there to the time, if I left at 5 o'clock, somebody was walking me to my car. And last year was a big reality for me on how bad our children are going through. And not even self-induced stuff. I'm talking about just the worries of the world, expectations. And so the number one person, I saw mostly black teenage boys. And so the main thing that they would talk about, and every time, most of the times that they would come into my office, 9 times out of 10, I would be rescuing them from debt because they something hadn't happened. And so, you know, by the time an explosion happens, they're sick of what something has happened. It's the last straw. My office was across the way, the hall from the deputy. So 9 times out of 10, by the time they got to me, because I hear them popping off with the deputy, mm-hmm. understandable. As polite as he trying to be, oh, they not having that. And so then they'll come into my office and you ain't got to say nothing. I just want you to sit here and, you know, be at ease. And then when they get to talking, the fact that they could talk and not, I'm not sugarcoating anything. You getting it. If you're wrong, you're wrong. But if you're right, you know what? I feel you and I understand. And that's what black men need to hear. I feel you and I understand. Regardless of how we were brought up, they don't get to hear that the way they need to. I thank God for my sister girls because I could call one of y'all and we could talk and talk. We could get that I feel you and I understand, and then we have a place to vent. But just them boys being able to have a safe space to one dump whatever it is they experienced, why mm-hmm. they responded the way they responded, and not be judged. Like, yeah, I'm finna listen, and I'm not judging, and I'm advocating for you not to have any disciplinary action. Why? Because we all mess up sometime. And what could we have done to prevent this? That's what we need to focus on. So I think when it comes to Black men and Black boys, find you a safe space where you could be 100% you. I don't even know if the barbershops used to be that. Youth groups with churches used to be that. We used to have the elders leading Black men. We don't have that anymore. And that's another thing why that's where therapy is coming in, because we don't have elders eldering. We don't have these Black but
they
men.
They got stuff they going through.
True. We all going through it, stuff.
We all going through
it. We are.
We was all going through it back in the day. Elderly still elders. We have become the community of I take care of my house and my house only.
And so we have to kind of get out of that mindset of I don't have. Even if you don't have anybody to talk to vent to, find somebody to talk to and vent to. Pay somebody. It is worth it. Therapy is extremely worth it. The weight that you relieve from talking to somebody in 1 hour, you be so free, you finna hustle harder and make that money back in an hour, plus more. And so we got to stop looking at what it costs and look at what you gain.
And what you're saving yourself from later on in the
future. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Are you still a part of Rickers or are you a part? Are you not a part of Rickers anymore?
No, I'm planning to go back. I had the surgery, so I knew I was going to be down for 6 months, and them babies want all my attention. So I'm not going back until I'm 100% from the surgery. But
It's a current counselor there named by the name of something else. Or you her? Is she in the role you were in?
No, this is why I love our schools. Mr. Cook let me come in. And so she's with it's Miss Davis, I believe.
Yes, that's who it is.
So she was there before I got there, and she does I was doing 100% mental health. She does conflict resolution, kind of like
They need to do some other examples of it. They need to,
right. So
that's why I asked, did you do that? Because I was like, if Sean was doing that, it'd probably be different. But so those are different.
No, I was doing 100%
mental.
Tell me how you feel, like. You know, and then I'm advocating with the teachers, I'm advocating with the parents, and that's another thing.
The reason why I ask you know, that, Sean, because sometimes conflict resolution has a real together with the mental health issues. They got a hand in hand, so it would be really good. I can't wait till you get back. To continue to sow into the kids, but. I definitely think that y'all would benefit by working hand in hand with some of the things she has to do, because she may not get to the root of the situation as right. good as you can if right. you didn't know if like you give them the opportunity to come in, sit down, and just you know until they're ready to release it type of
and
thing.
That's what it was and like at my office. I was like, oh, my couch is coming in. So I literally have couches with blue lights. Like, and it's a whole vibe. My office is, my healing space is a healing space. And I'm serious about creating that. And so it was well received, and it's always well received, but to be received by young Black people, especially the boys, it's like, oh man, my heart goes out to them. I'm willing to do the work because it's so needed. And they aren't even at adult status and they're experiencing just issues associated with being a Black man in America.
And they're going to remember that. They're going to remember you. They're going to remember you when they get where they need to be in life. Even just like, dang, Miss Cromartie really helped me get through the situation that I was going through. So that's great, man. Like
That's the goal. For my goal is always to facilitate healing. I cannot heal anybody. I can't help you process those thoughts, process those emotions. Let's really look at what's bothering you. Are you really bothered because somebody's staring at you, or are you bothered because it's this tension that you feel that you don't have the words for, but you know, when you out and about, you just feel some type of way. You know, and so that's, I do encourage for any man that is going to go see a black man, that's going to see a therapist. My hope and prayer is that you can find you a black therapist. They're limited. But if you can find one that's accepting new clients, great. And somebody that understands your reality. Your reality. Because sometimes we forget. Some of us don't always have the same, feel like we don't have the same experience. And, somebody who understands your reality and is not afraid to hold you accountable, because that's a big part of healing, doing the work, making the changes that need to be made. And it's always, always, always worth it.
Thank you so much, Sean. That was
great. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies, for having me.
Thank you so much. Queen.
Man, look, she was sad about you. But y'all, like she just said, get the help, you know, reach out and don't be scared. Don't be scared. As I always say at the end of the show, journal, affirmations, we can do all of that too. But if you really need somebody to talk to, reach out to them. Especially your kids. Parents, don't be scared to have your children with somebody that they could talk to, because they don't always want to talk to us. Mm-hmm. They really don't always want to talk to us. So I know in my situation, my son, if he don't talk to me, he talks to my stepdad, which is his granddad, that he shares a lot with. I might find out later when he decides to come talk to me, but I know that he has somebody that he can go talk to if he don't talk to me, his stepdad or his dad. Mm-hmm. He has that other person that he trusts that he could talk to, but everybody don't have that. So if you got to go get professional help, there's nothing wrong with it. Get the help that you need. Trust and believe in the long run, you will be blessed.
Right. Trust the process.
Trust the process, because on the other side of that process, that tunnel, as Shell said at the beginning, the grass will be greener, bright green, if you just trust the process.
And you create your
Thank
own
y'all process. For tuning in. Thank you, Shonda. Appreciate the information.
Thank y'all so much. We and again, before we close out, I just want to tell y'all, I know I'm going in and out not right now because I see it. I don't know what's doing it, but I see it. But either way, I'm gonna go ahead and just say this quick spiel before I let these beautiful ladies go. I do want to say, if there is the opportunity to lean into a safe space, take it. Don't wait. Utilize your resources. If you got a man you can trust and you really look up to that man, talk to that man.
And he's where you want to be.
Yes. Yeah. And he's where you want to be. Not just because you trust him, but also because you have reasons to trust him. Trusting is not just about, oh my God, this man, he's in my life, so I should trust him. No. Trusting is deep embedded in that. So just take the time to choose who to lean and talk to, but please talk to somebody. We like you. We love you as always. And we always appreciate you all for tuning in. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your mental space. Take care of your physicalities. And most importantly, take care of you. Peace. Catch y'all next time.